history degree at the University of Edinburgh. She was a Nashville girl, brought up on Hatch show prints and the occasional exhibit at the Frist. There was art in Nashville, but nothing that compared to Edinburgh and its fantastic historical programs. She really liked her life right now. School was good. She had a lovely group of friends who teased her when she used their words in place of her own. Brolly, boot, hen party, all sounded silly and quaint out of Evie's mouth. She'd even developed the tiniest bit of a Scottish accent. It blended so nicely with her gentle southern drawl. Yes, she was happy here. All the time happy, except for the 2 5-minute periods twice a day when she stood by the poster, waiting for or getting off the bus, thinking, as she always did, of Bridget. For the longest time, people whispered Bridget had been taken by a serial killer, and Evie, utterly freaked out by this rumour, hadn't gone for drinks with anyone for a few weeks.
"Or for doing it much, Eves," her friends teased. "Think you'll be next?"
She could be. Anyone could be. Think about it. At the time Bridget went missing, Evie lived alone. She could be eaten by her cat and no one would know unless they came round to check on her. Finally, realizing she was being silly, she arranged for a flatmate. The incessant fear left her, and she started going out again. Time passed. The elements ripped holes in Bridget Wallace's description. Life became normal again. Evie's original level of concern seemed slightly hysterical. Now, when her friends suggested drinkies or an evening at an art exhibition, she was always the first to RSVP. She had plans this very evening for just such an event. They were in the first days of the Fringe, 3 weeks of high art in Edinburgh, so there were tons of new exhibits and installments for Evie and her friends to attend. The exhibit in question was at the Dovecot, something about dark art from Scotland's past. The party would start in an hour. Evie had suggested the group come to her place for drinks first, then they'd head down to the Dovecot together. Everyone agreed. They were used to Evie's desire to move about town in a crowd. Indulged her. Besides, she could afford better liquor and wine. They were all still on students' budgets, but Evie's parents paid her a healthy monthly stipend. She picked up 2 good Barolos and a nice Prosecco to start. She'd bought the cheese and meats on the weekend. It wouldn't take long to set up, but the Barolos needed to breathe, and she was running behind. She clambered off the too crowded bus, tried and failed to ignore Bridget, who, let's be honest, had become almost a friend in Evie's mind. The street was crowded with impartial strangers, and Evie was a small woman. They jostled her backpack and the brown paper bag she clutched that held the wine as she tried to cut her way through the stream to a front door. Couldn't they see her trying to cross the sidewalk and move down to Johnson Terrace where she lived? She did hate being invisible. It was the one thing that bothered her. She was working on it, making her personality bigger, brasher, louder, as if that would help her not seem so tiny and easy to miss. Sometimes it even worked. When she finally made it down to the close, a man was standing by the entrance to her building. He was cute, dark, curly hair, blue eyes, rolled chinos and ankle boots. Half preppy, half punk rock. She gave him a brief smile, and she opened the door, trying to shift the wine into the left arm with her purse so she could do the keypad to unlock the door. "Let me," he said, reaching for the wine. Highlander, she thought, pulling it close. He had the deeper burr of the north in his speech. She was mildly pleased she could recognize it so easily, but totally freaked out, too. He was staring at her, and it was strange.
"I'm fine. Thanks. I've got it."
"You're Evie, aren't you?"
Her heart pounded crazily, an adrenaline rush of fear barreling through her even.